Great job. Thank you, church, for singing the hymns of Christ. Isn't it great to sing the words of God? You know, sometimes when our theology gets all wet, our songs can be on point. Because He Lives always changes my life. The songs, the words of God, as we praise Him, let me tell you something. God really enjoys our praise. And I want to help you with this. You know, when we sing songs, we sing songs that we like better than others. Maybe it's contemporary, maybe it's traditional. But let me help you understand this. We sing to an audience of one. I'm not singing so my backbone tingles. I'm not singing so I feel good. I'm singing because I love a Jesus that makes me who I am. So when you come to worship, sing praises to Him. It's the melody of the heart of His children that changes our lives. It's not the vibration or the beat. Aren't we getting secular even in music? Say amen. And so Roxanne works very hard, and the team works very hard. Churches all across America, and they're always trying to get their music right for the audience. Let's keep it right for Jesus, and the audience will be all right. Amen? The audience will be all right. Well, I've had a wonderful time preaching the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, I preach a lot of series. I've been preaching for about 40 years, and I enjoy the Word of God. I have a radio ministry. I'm actually on 5 radio stations, secular radio stations, and I got a call this week from a fellow who's been listening to the Ten Commandments because I play these on the radio station. And so what you hear here, a lot of people are going to hear here, okay? And so, but I pray. Pray for me in Ron Davis Ministries as I do that. As a matter of fact, I've invested hard in radio ministry because churches are closing, people aren't going, and so I'm taking it to them in their cars or wherever they may be. But he called me. He said, is this Ron Davis? Are you the preacher? I said, yes, sir. I said, he told me where he was from and what station he heard this message on the Ten Commandments. I've been listening to the Ten Commandments. I thought they were boring. I thought they were too strict. I thought they were crazy. He says, but I've been listening to them, and I love the Ten Commandments. Them Ten Commandments are helping me. And let me share with you. Of all the series I preach, it's been a long time since I preached these commandments. Boy, now that I preached them, my heart's been touched. Because what's important to God needs to always be important to me. And I don't always think like God. Now, let's just say this. I very seldom think like God. Because His ways are so much better than mine. But His words, His commandments, these are the top 10 things He wants us to realize. Last week, as we preached on all these tough subjects, we talked about stealing. That message went longer than any of them. And all those things that we do. And let me share with you, if you need a copy of these messages, I'll make sure that you get a copy here at First Baptist. Maybe when we get done, we'll pile up and we'll have them out there in the Welcome Center and stop by and just get those. Pass them on, share them, give them away. They are very powerful truths of the Word of God. And whenever the Word of God is preached with truth and with love, it always changes us. And when we say exactly what God says, it goes a lot better. Amen? Sometimes preachers, and I've been caught up in this as much as you, sometimes preachers preach to the audience because we know what you like. Sometimes when we do that, it's so wrong. I preach the Word of God because it's what He likes. Amen? He loves for His children to know the truth and not washed down, not spun, but the honest words of God. And I pray for preachers to change the world because that's how God ordained it to be changed, through the foolishness of preaching the Word of God. So today we're talking about lying, telling the truth. You know, if I was God, there's a lot of things in this world that are worse than that. Why in the world pick on liars? Well, because God knows better. And after this message today, I hope you will figure it out even more so. The title of my message today is Truth or Consequences? Truth or Consequences? I'm sure we all realize what's important to me may not be important to you. And if it's not that, then we don't pay much attention to it. But again, this is really important to God as He makes a statement in Exodus 20, verse 16. So short, so profound. You shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbor. You shall not belittle. You shall not tell untruths about your neighbor. And who is our neighbors in the kingdom of God? All the kingdom is in the neighborhood of God. Amen? So we should not lie. In today's message, I want to teach us in this order why lying is so important to God that we don't do it. Number two, how lying affects our lives. Number three, we accept the accepted ways to lie today. You know, those are just little white lies. You know, those aren't really counting. And then number four, don't miss this. How God keeps up with our lying. How God keeps up with it. Heard a joke. Bernard Rock told me this joke. Bernard Rock was a deacon at Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church. He was a jokester. No, I just love Bernard Rock. He never missed a sermon in the whole 26 years I was there, I don't believe. He slept through half of them, so I only got half of them every time I came, you know. But he was trying, all right. He was a senior gentleman full of jokes, and he told me a joke about lying. I'm going to tell you the joke. He said two guys went to the pearly gates, and they walked up there, and they were there together, and man, it was exciting. They walked through, and they walked in the pearly gates, and there was these big clocks. There's millions of them all around. And so they asked, says, what in the world are these clocks up here for? He says, well, God keeps up with the liars. Every time somebody tells a lie, your name's on that clock, and that clock clicks. Every time you lie, the clock just moves. And so they said, wow, really? He said, yeah. So this one guy says, well, it's an alphabetical order. So they run around heaven. They finally found his clock. And there it was. There was a number of lies and all those things up there. And said, wow. Bernard said, I was looking for my clock. He says, where's my clock? I don't see it up here. He said, it's in the kitchen. He said, what is it doing in the kitchen? He said, it's hot in there. We're using your clock for a fan. So God does keep up with liars, all right? He really does. Now, why is it so important to God? We have to note this. And God put this in the order of importance because his son in John chapter 14 verse 6 outlines his being by this. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. He says, I am the truth. Satan, Jesus calls him the father of lies. Lie distorts. Lies hurt. So when Jesus says this, Satan's a liar, he's the father of those lies. Truth represents God, and lies represent Satan himself. So if you want to be like Satan, just tell a lie. If you want to walk with Christ in the power of his grace and majesty, and I preference all of these sermons about the law by the amazing grace of Christ. Amen? We're all here because of his grace and nothing but his grace. He is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. He cleanses us as white as snow. But ladies and gentlemen, the only way he cleanses us is if we confess our sins. And so if you have told a lot of lies that you have not confessed and repented of, they're still on the clock. The only way they're gone is by the grace of Christ. Amen? And thank God they can be gone. But in this era, in the era of the old covenant, in the old commandments, man, they were held. You broke the law. You missed it. And so he says lying is so important because it's truth. God is truth, and Satan is a liar. And there's a big gulf between lying and truth. Even though we're so used to little white lies, and we're going to talk about why we are pressured to lie all so often, even though there is that, God wants us to know that one side is God and one side is Satan himself, the father of lies and the God of truth. That will set us free and make us what we need to be for him. And so to tell the truth sometimes isn't easy. Sometimes it's hard to do, but our society, in this fallen society, we don't know who to believe. We don't know what to believe. Isn't that true? There is so many spins on everything. Who is right? Who is wrong? I tell people this, and I'm learning it better every day. About 2 months ago, I completely watching and listening to all the news. I was a news junkie. I would listen to this station, and I would be so mad I couldn't go to bed. I couldn't sleep. I would be so upset I couldn't sleep. Because what is true? Which one is right? What is that? And so I have never been on crack cocaine. But I've been off this news for a couple months. I feel like I've come off crack. I can love you now easier. I don't want to judge you, and I don't want to say this or that. I'm just off of it. And the reason why I quit, it was affecting my ministry. It was affecting my heart. It was affecting my family. If they were from one persuasion to another, how easy the devil used this COVID-19 to destroy the house of God by the division of what is true or not and all the lies that have been shared about it. It's horrible. It's frightening. It is dangerous. But we really don't know all that he needs to know about that because of divisions in our heart. I had a guy I met at a gas station yesterday, a good friend of mine, used to go to church. He said, "Brother Ron, my best friends that I went to high school with, because I voted like this, they disowned me." He said, "And everyone talked to me again." And we were friends in high school. Now, isn't that ridiculous? The father of lies has destroyed the continuity of the grace of God in the house of God in America. People just judge people so quickly because lies is all the way out there and always deceiving. It tears down relationships. Remember this. God is a God of relationship. And what does lie do? What does lie do to our lives? It destroys relationships. It will cause divorces in marriage, in friendship, in church, when there's a God who loves us in spite of us. So lies are so deceptive. They're so big. They're so real. How lying affects our lives. It brings chaos to us. It makes us unstable. Let me take you back to the first lie. Can I tell you the first lie? Who told the first lie? Satan himself. You know who told the second lie? Eve. See, once you're lied to, it's easy for you to lie. Say amen to that. Once you've been lied to, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. Because they lie, I can lie. So let's just take to the fall of mankind. In Genesis 3:1-3. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, ye shall not eat of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat.'" That's what God said. In chapter 2:17, he says, God shall not eat. But here's what Eve says. "And God says, ye shall not eat, nor shall touch it." Eve threw that little part in. God didn't say that. Eve said that. Isn't it amazing how easy that is? I mean, it's almost true. God did bring it up. But see, Eve turned around and lied right to the devil. "And you don't touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Man, isn't that serpent good? Play the lottery. Everybody's got to win. Maybe it'll be you. How about that lie? You know, gambling is as addictive as crack cocaine. Say amen to that. And you know why we believe the lie? We hear all these commercials. Isn't it easy to be lied to? Yeah, it's easy. Now remember this. Once you're lied to, it's easy to become a liar. Eve, right off the bat, got lied to, and immediately she lied right back. You got that? So see how lies just destroyed the whole universe. It began to change our whole lives. Then Eve just added a little bit to what God said and got all messed up. Now, that's the lie. I'm going to tell you the consequences of that lie. And you're going to say, gee whiz. You probably know this, but we're going to refresh it in your mind. Chapter 3, verse 14, he talks about what God's going to do to the serpent. He's going to crush his head one day. He's going to send him to hell. That was the curse for what the devil did. Now here's the curse for what Eve did. In verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Now here's why. Because she lied. Okay, she bit the truth. She bit the fruit through the lie. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, and bring you, and in pain ye shall bring forth children. Every time you ladies give birth, and that pain is crazy, it's because of Eve's lie and sin. Because of what you did, Eve, the most beautiful part of life is life. Women will conceive and have pain in childbirth. That's consequences for that lie. It's lasted forever. Let me read it to you. He says, and greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that will make the feminists go nuts, won't it? That shouldn't even be in the Bible. Ain't no way. My wife is smarter than me, a lot better than me, a lot prettier than me. But according to the Bible, at my house, I'm going to say this real easy. I'm the boss. I hope she didn't hear that. It's real easy to be the boss when you have a loving, beautiful wife that follows you. Amen? I'm no spiritual than my wife. I'm no better than my wife. But God says because of that sin, ladies, your husband will lead you. And that's God said. That's the penalty of that sin. Now, guys, now Eve bit that apple too. So listen to what he says to Eve. Every farmer in America needs to understand this. You know what the farmer's biggest problem is in his life? Is weeds. He spends a lot of money killing weeds. He hates weeds. Weeds destroy his crop. You know why we have weeds? Because Adam bit the fruit. Let me read it to you. And to Adam he said, because you have indeed the voice, you heeded to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. Curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and ye shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you've taken, the dust you are, and to the dust you'll return. Every time that farmer, every time you plant something, everything you go through this earth, just think there wasn't a weed before this. There wasn't a thorn because of this. There wasn't a thistle before this in the Garden of Eden. But because of that, the ground was cursed. And the farmer was going to have to work and sweat twice as hard to grow his crops. Truth and consequences. You get it? When we tell lies and when we sin, God keeps up. And from that sin of Adam and Eve, women will labor in pain and men will sweat to make a living. That is the curse. Before that, there was no pain. Before that, there was no weeds. Before the curse, the bees didn't have a stinger. Think about that. Before the curse, it was so much better. But because of a lie, consequences are real. Well, Brother Ron, I don't live back in the Garden of Eden. I live in America today. But God's word hasn't changed a bit since the garden. It's still in his top 10. It's still important. We get that? So see, I want you to see that lying brings consequences. Lying does. It hurts relationships. Let's talk about this. Why do we lie? Lying is really an insecurity that's rooted in many things. I'm going to talk about it. Lying is just an insecurity. If you were strong in your faith and strong in the truth and strong in what you believe in your life, you wouldn't have to lie. But we become insecure. We become afraid. We become malicious. We become all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about it. But because of the brokenness of our lives, we try to get out of our hurt by lying ourselves out of it. But once you start lying, you become a liar. Because you got to tell another lie to defend the last lie. Don't you? Now, don't let, you know, I've done that. Haven't you done that? Oh, man. You ain't nice to me at all. You act like I'm the only one that's ever lied in this church. Have you ever lied? No, I'm not going to ask Roxanne that. I ain't going to ask her. Absolutely. Man. She's confessing. She's probably just recently been through it, all right? But anyway, we're all liars. But when we've been lied to, it's so easy to lie back. Let me help you figure it out. You want to figure this out? Tell your neighbor, you're going to learn something right now. Just tell them, you're going to learn something about lying. You're going to learn something. Why do we lie? First of all, the fear of punishment. Fear will cause you to lie. I mean, you know when the policeman pulls you over and he asks how fast you was going, don't you want to shave off about 5 miles of that? Just shave it down a little bit, you know? Just lie, just because of the fear of penalty. You know, when you break your rules at mom and dad and they ask you if you did it and you say yes, you're going to get a spanking. Because you lied, you'll probably get 10 before it's over. Remember that. See, fear causes us to lie. That's an insecurity. The perfect love of God does what to fear? Cast it out. Makes me sure-footed. Makes me own my mistakes. Makes me honest with God. Let me tell you something. If you're so used to lying when you talk to God, you'll probably lie to him because you can't even tell the truth. I will talk about it in a few moments. Next thing, malice. Full of anger. We become bitter. See, life either makes you better or bitter. Remember that. Life either makes you better or bitter. And people who have been hurt and been lied to and deceived, they get bitter in life. They get maliced. And malice people gossip. Malice people say things about their neighbors, says things about their families, says things about their church, and says all these things in their life. It becomes a poison in their lives. They gossip. And they try to destroy somebody because somebody tried to destroy them. And they become very angry and malice in their life. Gossip. Man, it's horrible, isn't it? It's full of half-truths. Let me say it this way. A scorpion has poison in its tail. A snake has poison in its cheek. A gossiper has poison in their tongue. It's poison. A lady one time heard this sermon and she was kind of confessing repentance of lying. And so she went to her preacher. She says, now how do I get rid of all this? I've said a lot of bad things about people. What do I do about it? How can I fix that? He says, get a handful of feathers. Go out there in the middle of the weeds, out there in your backyard, and just throw all those feathers up in the air and let them fly. She says, okay. He says, now, what's next? He says, go find every feather. She says, I can't. You can't undo gossip. Once you've said it, you can't take it back. It's said. Remember that? Don't forget that. Church fights, bitter people, gossiping people. You know how Satan uses to destroy the body of believers? Just like he did in the garden through a lie. Through gossip. Because I'm so hurt and I'm so mad and so angry, we just got to say something that needs to know. Let me tell you something. I'd hate to be a vulture. You know what a vulture does? It flies all over the land and all the beautiful things, and all they look for is dead stuff, stinking stuff. They don't see the flowers. They don't see the beauty sunset. They don't see the trees. All they see is stinking stuff. And when you're really hurt and you're bitter, you never see the good in nobody. All you see is the bad in everybody, and you want everybody to know it. And God says, that is wrong. See, better people can see the stinking stuff, but they can see the joy of the Lord. They can balance it because we all have stinking stuff. Amen? We've all crossed the line. We've all blown this in so many different ways. And so it just hurts us. So don't be a vulture. Be an eagle. Soar and see the world. Soar and have it in your fingertips, the God of blessings and the God of love and the God of provision. Last week, get that message on stealing. It's amazing how that goes and goes and goes. But man, see what God sees and see it. Another reason why we lie, because of profit, we want to gain something for nothing. I don't care if you got $1,000 in your pocket and you can get a good deal. And if somebody deceives you, you know, we're easily conned for good deals. My wife told me one year, she says, Ronald, I just added up. You know, last year in sales, I saved over $20,000 on sales. All the stuff I bought it on sale. Now, it cost me $45,000, but we saved $20,000. See how I spend that going? See how that works? I'm just saving money by spending money because we do not know how to control money. Don't miss that sermon. Don't miss that sermon. You know what your family never taught you growing up? How to manage money. You know, the Bible says you cannot serve God and money. And if you haven't taught your children how to manage money, they'll serve money before they'll serve God because they don't know any different, because money's powerful. And it says right on your dollar bill, in God we trust, but they'll trust that money because the family never taught you how to manage money. That's probably the biggest curse in America today, Christians' families that have children that don't know how to manage money, or parents don't know how to manage money. It's horrible. Half-truths. Every cult in America lives on half-truths. It's a heresy. You can't have any religion at all without Jesus somewhere in it. And so they say he was a great man. They said he was a prophet. They said he did miracles. But they'll never say he is God and risen from the dead. And so they use his name to present the lie. Half-truths are horrible. And so if you're one of those people who says it wasn't all a lie, it was just a little bit, just say, that's stupid, ain't it? That's dumb. A lie's a lie. Guilty or not. Now, carelessness. Preachers must be careful with this. We must be accurate in our statements. Carelessly, we can just add the part and not touch it. Add our 2 cents to it. Be careless. And don't say it just right. Be careless. Counts a lot. Now, you hear me say this a lot. And I say it sometimes as a relief, saying, my prayer is, I will never lie to you. My biggest problem is I lie to me. I rationalize. Say rationalize real slow. Rational lies. See, I don't want to feel guilty. And so I tell myself, it wasn't that bad. Well, they got over it. Yeah, it'd be okay. Let me tell you something. Here's what I've been learning in this message. Lying to me is worse than lying to you. Because when I'm deceived, I'll always deceive you. I got to be honest with myself. I can't believe the lies Satan gives to me. I don't want to lie to you, but I need to quit lying to myself, and so do you. Bad is bad, right is right, wrong is wrong, yea is yea, and nay is nay, hot or cold, it must be the truth. So don't excuse yourself in that lie. Now, how does God keep up with our lies? Let me take you to Genesis 27, just real quickly. Genesis chapter 27. Let me take you there and that we may find that. And I just want to give you a couple more illustrations. We're going to close. Roxanne says, she times my sermons. That ticks me off. But she times my sermons because she does the radio thing, okay? She said, I've been preaching long. I said, have you liked it? She ain't said. Anyway. I like it, okay. Genesis 27. I want to tell you about old Jacob and Esau in verse 19. Now, Jacob and Esau. Esau's the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. And so Jacob is going to steal Esau's blessings, because if you're the firstborn in the inheritance, because see, God promised Abraham that his inheritance is going to be blessed like nothing, no other blessing in the world. And so in that blessedly line, that priestly line, Esau was next in line to get the farm. Now, Jacob was cunning. He was a crafty. He was a mama's boy. Esau was a daddy's boy. Esau was the hunter. Jacob was the mama's boy, grew up in the palace. And so Mama Rachel wanted her son to get Esau's blessings. And so Isaac is getting very old. It's now for him to bless his children as God said he would. And God promised he would. And so he's going to call Esau into the blessing. And Rachel got Jacob aside. Hey, I'm going to fix this up. I'm going to deceive your father to make him think you're Esau. All you got to do is lie. Just tell a lie. And you'll get every blessing that Esau was going to get. Just lie about it. And you'll get the blessings. And you know what Jacob did? Thanks, Mom. Boy, that's a good deal, Mom. And so the plan's in place. In verse 19. And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Now, you know who told him to say that? His mother. His mother instructed him, when dad asked you, you tell him that who? You're Esau. Now, his dad's blind. His dad's blinded. He can't see. He's very old. He said, I've done just as you told me. Please rise, sit, and eat of the game that your soul may be blessed. Now, Esau was a woodsman. He would kill that game out there, and he'd come home and make stew, and his dad loved Esau's stew. And you know what Rachel did? He cooked up some stew and gave it to Jacob to pass on. Verse 20, but Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found this so quickly, my son? And he says, because the Lord your God brought it to me. He told another lie. How in the world you get all this stew so quickly? Because God gave it to me. Man, you put God in your lie. Who in the world could call that a lie? Getting pretty good at it, isn't he? Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel your son, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. Esau was a hairy guy. So he's just going to feel the hair on his hand. He could tell the difference. He was a woodsman guy. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hand of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. He lied twice to his father. He said, my name was Esau. And then he says, I am. The I am was a lot easier than the first one. Lies get easier till you get caught. And he said, bring it to me, and we'll eat the game. So the soul was blessed you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate and brought him wine and the drink. And his father Isaac said to him, come now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelt the smell of the clothing, and it blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which is the Lord is blessed. Therefore, may God give you the dew of the heaven, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of the grain and wine. Let people serve you, nations bow down to you, be master over your burdens, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed to everyone who curses you, and blessed to everyone bless you. So he's got Abraham's blessing by a lie. He got it. He's king of the country, man. Just told a lie. But you know, in the Bible, after chapter 27, there comes other chapters to follow. And I want to take you to chapter 32, the book of Genesis, very quickly. I want to talk about consequences. Chapter 32 of Genesis. So Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Now, God met Jacob. God wanted the blessing, but he couldn't because he lied. God could not bless him because God knew he lied. So he's traveling, and he's going through the journey. In verse 24, I want to read verses 24 through 27. Then Jacob was left alone with the man and wrestled with him until the break of the day. Now, God sent an angel, which is God himself, and he wrestled with Jacob all night long. I mean, they wrestled hard. I mean, they were throwing elbows. They were working hard. And all night long, Jacob lasted. In the story, what happens is a story. When they wrestled all night long, God took the hip of Jacob and pulled it out of socket. And the rest of Jacob's life, he limped. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life because God had to change his name. God could not bless Jacob. In the story, God gave him a new name. He gave him the name called Israel. God couldn't bless Jacob. So he said, I'm going to change your name. The story went on in verse 25. And now when he saw he did, he prevailed against him. He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what is your name? Last time somebody asked him his name, you know what he said? Esau. What is your name? You know what he said? Jacob. God had to get that cleared up. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you asked about my name? And he blessed him there. The reason why God asked, because he couldn't bless a Jacob that lied to get it. He had to change his name to Israel so he could bless him. Now, not only did he have a problem with God, he had a problem with Esau. Esau's pretty ticked off. And Jacob is scared to death of Esau. He's the woodsman. This is a sissy boy. And he took everything from him. And so in chapter 33, let me read in verses 10 and 11. Now, Jacob was meeting Esau, and he was concerned about it. And Jacob said in verse 10, no, please, I have now found favor in your sight and received my present from my hand as much as I have seen for your face, as though I have seen the face of God and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing, which is brought to you because God has dealt graciously. God dealt graciously. He could have killed me, but he just gave me a limp for the rest of my life. And if you're going through life with a limp, you better ask why. Because a lie could be on your trail and it needs to be dealt with. Amen? If you lived your life in a lie, see, God didn't forget it. Down the road, he meets Jacob face to face and Jacob's got to confess his name to him. He got it right. God changed it. He blessed him. Limping through life. Now, quickly. New Testament, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Here, all the godly people, they're in Acts chapter 2. There's a great movement of God, and God just blessed them. And they took everything they owned, and they put it in all one pile, and they were taking care of one another. So in Acts chapter 5, here come Ananias and Sapphira, and came in there, and they sold a big piece of ground. And they said, okay, we sold our ground, but they lied. Some of the money that they took from the ground, they put in their pocket. And Barnabas and all those others who sold their ground gave it all to the church. But see, they just give a part of it. They just give a part of it. And they ask him, have you given all of it? Yes. And they lied. And you know what happened to Ananias in chapter 5? I don't got time to read this. I'm on the clock. Right, Rox? Okay. Guess what? He dropped dead on the altar. You know why he dropped dead? He lied. All the money he said he gave the church, God would have took 2/3 of it finally. But you know why he lied? You know why he died? Because he lied. He tried to perceive that he gave it all. And he had a real smart wife. He's dead. They walk in and ask her. She lied too, and she's dead. They both died on the altar. And they all begin to pay attention. It costs you something when you lie to God. Now, I want to close with this question. How much of us has limped through life, never could figure it out because of a lie, and we had to get it right with God? Maybe it's in a relationship problem. Maybe it's in work. Maybe it's in a family. Your sin shall find you out, ladies and gentlemen. God keeps score. He got Jacob down the road, didn't he? And old Jacob, whenever he went anywhere, he always. But he went because God was gracious to him, like he is to us. Aren't you glad he's gracious to us? Because if lying would cause you to go to hell, we'd all went to hell. We're just sinners saved by grace. Now, I asked you a real important question today. If you're limping through life, there's no prosperity and joy in your house, or if you have to have more money to be happy, that's the biggest lie. If you think money can make you happy, that's the biggest lie you've ever been taught. Just let God bless you according to his riches. Amen? Let him be gracious to you. So lying's real important. Gossip, all it is festered up hurt, and you destroy somebody's life because of it, and you can't undo it. You've said it, and it's said. It's a tongue of poison. Read the book of James. He declares it even better. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Let's let all liars say amen. Amen. Feel better? That's almost confession. That's almost, not quite. We're on our way. Let's stand up together.